This week, as Bosnia confronts a tenuous peace, we will spend some time talking about the country's recent past, about how the war got started and the different groups involved in the conflict. The word Yugoslavia means land of the South Slavs. It is only in this century that Yugoslavia has been a nation, six republics. The people had a shared heritage and language, along with their rivalries and suspicions. And as Yugoslavs, they usually had a picture in their house of Josip Broz Tito. He had been their leader since the end of the Second World War. Marshal Tito died in the spring of 1980. As the BBC reported, his body was brought to the capital by funeral train.
Along the track, thousands of people had turned out to mourn him, many of them crying openly. In the city of Zagreb, the mayor broke down and wept during a song dedicated to Tito. Tens of thousands were on the move today here in Belgrade, a solid mass of people, some of them in black, others wearing red armbands, marching slowly from the suburbs towards the central station. Amidst the tangible sorrow, Yugoslavia's politicians have been exhorting the people to remain strong and united.
It's often been said that Tito held the parts of Yugoslavia together in the iron grip of a communist dictatorship, and that the country would divide, perhaps with anger, after Tito. And after a decade with the country in economic decline and political disarray, the national passions within Yugoslavia began to intensify. You could begin this story 14 centuries ago, when groups of Slavic people traveled to the Balkan Peninsula. If they had stayed at home, they would today be Poles or Ukrainians. In the Balkans, they settled into separate areas, hence Serbia, Croatia, and they identified with different religions, Catholic, Orthodox. Then Bosnia was invaded by the Ottoman Turks, and many people eventually chose to convert to Islam. In 1992, before this war started, Bosnia was 4 million people. 30% were Serb, 17% Croat, the rest were Muslim. Susan Woodward, an historian, the author of the book Balkan Tragedy, talked with us about the similarities in Bosnia among the three ethnic groups.
You can't tell the difference. You might if you walked into a village and you could begin by identifying dress, because the difference between the three groups is in somewhat a long historical sense of political community to which you have attached a different religion, a different set of rituals, for example, for birthdays or for that are identified with religious holidays. And people might, as I say, wear a different dress. But in the cities, you could never tell the difference.
You can, in reading about this conflict, come away with this notion that somehow the Muslims are lesser people because they only have their religion as a way to identify them. The Croats would have Croatia as a nation state and the Catholic Church. The Serbs would have Serbia to look to and the Serbian Orthodox Church. The Muslims would only have Islam.
Well, I think that's completely wrong, actually. It's true that Muslims did not have a separate state because they converted after Bosnia was subordinated to the Ottoman Empire. But these were people who converted to Islam in large part at the time, many, many hundreds of years ago, because they were the upper class who were landowning, what we would call the aristocracy. And they converted in order to keep hold of their land and not have to pay taxes, who under the Ottomans, the Raya, or peasants, the Christians, whether they were either Roman Catholic or Eastern Orthodox, or as we now call them, Croats or Serbs, had to pay taxes. So even though we would now say that without a Bosnia, the Muslims don't have a protection for themselves, nonetheless, they had over the years before then a very clear identity as the social and political and economic elite of Bosnia-Herzegovina.
Here is a very key question in all this. Is there indeed a longstanding, how intense is the longstanding hatred, I'll put it this way, among these three groups in Bosnia?
You know, I would say that there never was any hatred, and therefore it's not even a question of whether it was intense or not. I think the intensity of hatred has developed out of fear and violence during the war. There were certainly rivalries, but among the individuals, no, there wasn't any hatred.
What about, though, to the Second World War, the theory that that war was simply an excuse for a civil war to take place in the Balkans for the Croats and the Serbs and, to some extent, the Muslims to start killing each other?
Oh, I don't agree with that at all. There's no question that there was, in the course of World War II, a civil war. But the civil war in former Yugoslavia during World War II was an ideological fight. It was fascists. They were largely in Croatia, and there were some Croats and Muslims in Bosnia who joined those fascists. And fascists believed, as we know in Germany and Italy, that there are some people who belong and who some people who are under people. But that was a fascist ideology, and the communists created a party to fight against that. It was largely seen as anti-fascist to protect people regardless of who they were.
Well, what about now when you have people talking about revenge? Just take, for example, the Croat Ustasha state killing Serbs in concentration camps during the Second World War.
Oh, there's no question that the fighting happened and that the killing happened, and that Serbs in particular were slaughtered mercilessly and massacred. Some people would call it genocide during World War II. But the question is, who did it? And more importantly for us, what do we say about it now? How do we deal with it? Do we say, as many Serbs say, we cannot ever let that happen again, and therefore, when Yugoslavia broke up, and that was our protection against it happening again, we have to create our own state of Serbs and expel all those people who want to kill us again, as we now see in parts of Bosnia? Or do we say that we should now be at a new stage and recognize that it wasn't Croats who killed us, but Croat fascists who killed us? And it's not all Croats or all Serbs or all Muslims. It's the way political leaders and certain political factions act.
Well, it's entirely too simplistic, though, to try to blame what's happened and the number of dead and homeless on three bad guys, Slobodan Milosevic in Serbia, Franjo Tuđman in Croatia, Radovan Karadžić in leader of the Bosnian Serbs. There must be a certain level of pure ethnic hatred that is fueling this war that's gone on almost 4 years.
Well, I agree with you completely, but what is more important is that it's not hatred that is fueling this horror, but fear. When a country collapses and when a state collapses and you have no police, no courts, no one that's reliable, then you begin to fear what others will do to you, and you take up arms. And the people who were using labels saying, you do not belong with us because you're of another ethnicity, that was forcing people to take sides, and especially because the people who were saying this, the nationalists who were claiming that they had a right to a state of a nation and that other people who were minorities, minority nations, didn't belong, those people built paramilitary organizations and armies. They're the ones who had the guns, and therefore they're the ones who decided what would happen.
Susan Woodward of the Brookings Institution, her book is Balkan Tragedy. She talked with us from the studios of Minnesota Public Radio in St. Paul.